In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The story of this Blessed Sunday is about the raising of Lazarus. And as much as we know about the physical death, this is something that we cannot avoid, and everyone will have to meet with it at a certain day. Even though we know this, but we try our very best to run from it. And this is something that's rational and understood. But actually, we should not be overwhelmed with the physical death and thinking about our well-being physically and how close or how far we are from this point. Our salvation is determined between a death that we should flee from and a death that we should embrace. I know that in our minds there is no way we can flee from death, and there is no way also we can embrace a certain kind of death. But my brethren, this is what the scripture is teaching us. Our salvation is determined on how much we flee from spiritual death. How this death comes to us and how can we avoid it? The death that we should flee from comes first of all from a carnal mind, a mind that is defiled with the lust of the world, that defines everything on how much pleasure in it, a mind that only calculates its calculation based on how much I gain, no matter how much people around me might lose, a mind that find defilement even in the pure things. Only think of the bad things about people, about others, and cannot see in them the image of God. This is what St. Paul says to the Romans, for to be carnally minded it is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So this is the first kind of death that we should flee from, a death that comes from a carnal mind. The second kind of death that we should flee from is a death that comes from a worldly sorrow. St. Paul says this to the Corinthians in his second epistle, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. What does he mean by this worldly sorrow? It is this sorrow with no hope, that feeling and living in despair. It's exactly the kind of sorrow that Judas Iscariot experienced when he felt what he did when he delivered his master. This worldly sorrow that took hold of his heart made him to go and kill himself. This is the kind of sorrow that when we experience some kind of loss on earthly basis and we are overwhelmed with it to the degree that maybe you are going to abandon the church or we cut relationship with God. This is the worldly sorrow that can lead us to death. We all experience sorrow in many ways. We all have many things to trouble our hearts one way or another. But there's a difference between the godly sorrow that we take it and becomes a reason for us to come closer to God and repent and take this sorrow and make it a reason for us to get away from God, and then we experience this death. So the death that we ought flee from comes from a carnal mind, from worldly sorrow, from a full-grown sin. What do we mean by this? St. James says that, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full-grown, brings forth death. Not every sin leads to death. The full-grown one. What is the full-grown sin? The sin that I choose as a lifestyle. The sin that I choose not to repent, not to give it up, not to confess it. The sin that after some time I feel like it's part of my nature. I cannot see myself not doing this or living this way. The sin that I justify to myself and try to rationalize it and make it as, what's the big deal about it? This is a full-grown sin. And this full-grown sin will lead whoever embraces it and choose it to a spiritual death that we ought to flee from. The fourth kind of death that we ought to flee from is that one that comes from a heart blemished with hatred. We hear about this in the first epistle of St. John, he says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Sometimes we underestimate the sin of hatred, and we try our very best not to call it for ourselves. We try to find a good name for a sense that's negative against someone. Maybe we call it uncomfort, we call it whatever. Hatred is hatred, and hatred will make us to abide in death. So here, these four reasons we have to keep in mind, because each one of them is enough for us to die spiritually, and if this happens, we will be condemned in the eternity. So this is a kind of death that we ought to flee from, a death that comes from a carnal mind, worldly sorrow, full-grown sin, and a heart blemished with heart. Coming to the second point, how can we embrace death? How can we welcome it? Actually, we are asked to choose it, and this becomes whom we are. Something that also the Lord Christ, throughout the whole Bible and all of his apostles, try to get our attention to choose this death, and by this we live forever. The first kind of this kind of death that we choose actually is being united with the Lord Christ in baptism. From the early beginning of the life of a child, the church teaches, if you want to live eternally, you have to choose to die with Christ. Baptism is death with Christ. The water for us is a tomb in which we, the old man, dies, and when we come out, we are a new creation. St. Paul elaborates and details this in his epistle to the Romans when he says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. It is this mindset that if I die with Christ, I will rise with him. If I choose this as a lifestyle, then definitely I will be able to enjoy the resurrection. If I choose to live on my own, away from Christ, I do not want to share in this with him, then I cannot enjoy eternal life with him. This kind of life-giving death also comes from being led by the Spirit of God. St. Paul says this to the Romans, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Dying with Christ in baptism is not just a defining moment and it starts and finishes on the day of the baptism. It is again to let us know that by the Spirit of God, we will have to live led by the Spirit, mortifying the deeds of the body. And this is what, again, St. Paul stated to the Colossians, that we live when we practice these deeds of mortification. Mortification means making something to die. He says to them, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. If we mortify this, we will live. If we allow this to reign, then we will die. Then coming to this verse, putting to death our members which are on the earth. Now we understand we have to put to death our members on the earth in order for us to be able to live eternally. The first thing that we have to remind ourselves with, it is a daily duty that we choose to die with Christ. It's something that from the beginning of the day, when we stand and pray, we make a vow, we remind ourselves, we are called to live this day mortifying the deeds of the body. It's not something I will do it whenever I remember. It is not something that I will do it whenever I like to do it. All of the acts of abstinence from sin, prayers, fastings, all of this are acts and deeds of mortification. When I choose to separate from myself, from whatever is defiling my body and my mind, this is an act of mortification, and this is a daily duty, everyday job. The second thing we have to remember is that we should mortify, not restrain. What do I mean by this? Let me give you an example. We all know that most of the time, the internet for us is a source of temptation. Unfortunately, this tool, Satan was able to seed death in it, and it became a reason for many to have their mind overwhelmed with passion and with lust. Restrain means to say that I'm going to navigate and serve the internet, and I will see things that are inappropriate, but meanwhile, I'm not going to move with it, I'm not going to fall into any sin or any kind of fornication. Mortifying means to cut it off completely, that I will use only my computer and my internet whenever I am working, period, nothing more. The Lord Christ requested that if my eyes make me to stumble, then I have to block it out. And we all understand he didn't mean it literally that we take our eyes out. But what about shutting the internet if I'm not using it for a good reason, for work or whatever related? Can we do this? Or we think about it and we say, no, this is too much. I can restrain, but there is no way I can not to be like serving the internet for hours. Unfortunately, now we are not mortifying. We are just restraining, and restraining will never work. We will fail. We did it many times and it didn't work. The third thing we should remember about putting to death our members is that the battle with the passions. There is a battle inside the mind of every one of us with many, many passions. When I say passion, I don't mean only sexual immorality. I mean all kinds of passion, negligence and laziness, the passion of holding grudge, competing with others, wanting to become the preeminent among others, ignoring others around me, not thinking of their feelings. Many, many passions. Actually, one of the saints defined maybe more than 100 of them. Every day we have a battle with one or more of these passions. Passions, their presence doesn't mean that we are sinful. Their presence means we are not in control and we have to war. We have to battle against them. Another point we should remind ourselves with is that the victory is only attained with the Spirit of God. You cannot do it on your own. You cannot just stay home and thinking that with the power of my will, I will train myself to overcome the passions. I will mortify the deeds of the body just by my desire and my determination. There is no way. What do you mean by this? If I do not pray, if I not read the Bible and meditate on it, how can I think that I can put to death my members here on earth? There is no way. Thinking this way is just a self-deception. Mortifying the deeds of the body means to do what we need to do, not what we like to do. Many of us, they are not willing to do what they need to do because they don't like to do it. I will wait until I feel like praying before I stand and pray. I will abstain from watching bad things on the internet whenever I feel like I have the desire to control this. I will fast whenever I'm convinced that fasting or this kind of fast is beneficial. My brethren, we are requested to live like men. And by saying men here doesn't mean the masculine meaning of the word, but rather to be serious enough to do what we know we ought to do. Many, many times, in many occasions, people come and say, you know, Abuna, I know I need to do this, but I'm not doing it. Why? The only answer is, I'm not serious enough. I'm not convinced yet that the way I'm choosing for my life might lead me to eternal damnation. And then there is the hindrance of self-pity. The struggle between that I want to mortify the members of my body, but meanwhile, I pity myself. I want to fast, but I get very weak when fasting starts. I want to pray, but you know, my body's aching and my knees cannot hold me standing before God. I want to come to the church early, but Sunday morning is the only day where I can have an extra hour of sleep. This self-pity will hinder us from mortifying, putting to death the members of the body. There is no way. If I still pamper myself like this, how can I say that I'm going to share in Christ's death? There is no way. It will be just, religion will be for us is that we will do what is good, what we feel is okay, not mortifying the deeds of the body as the Bible is instructing us to do. And then this deeds of mortification is attained through true humility, accepting the loss, serving others, and sincere asceticism. If you ask yourself, what is exactly mortification? It is this. It is the act of humility, serving others, accepting maybe someone will take something from you. Maybe you lose something because you want at the end to gain a person. It is the sincere asceticism, living as Christian people, dying to the world in order to be glorified with and in Christ. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.